Yo, mic check, mic check. Yeah, I heard Jeff's got that new hot thing, podcasting. Let's get it going, Jeff.
Mic check.
Please stand by.
It's the weekend of May 14th, 2005. I'm Jeff.
I'm Pat.
And you're listening to This and That with Jeff and Pat.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Pat. What's going on, man?
Hey, it's a beautiful day today.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. That's one of my favorite rap songs,
yeah,
by the way.
How are you doing, Jeff?
You know, I'm doing good.
Great.
It's another long-ass week at work. Too many projects, but blah, blah, blah. Our listeners don't want to hear that.
No, they don't. What'd you do last night?
What did I do last night? I saw a movie called The Parrots of Telegraph Hill. And it was about this guy in San Francisco, kind of an eclectic guy that takes care of this one group of parrots that are wild. And it was actually, it sounds really stupid. I can't describe it and give it justice, but it was a really compelling movie. So go see it.
Wow. Yeah. You went with Susan and
I went with
Amy?
Susan. Susan bagged out, so it was just me and Amy.
You're kidding. She bagged out?
She said she had a headache, but then then she met us for coffee later.
Oh, and how nice.
What did you do?
I went and had dinner with Renzo and Patty at Ola's.
Did you talk about cats?
We didn't talk about cats. Patty is a great big animal lover, but we did not talk about cats. Patty and Renzo's baby is due on Thursday.
Wow.
And Patty, Patty is from Peru, and she's a really beautiful woman. And, you know, Jeff, she only
Peruvian women are very beautiful.
She only gained 18 pounds. She barely looks like she even has a bump on her stomach.
It's going to be like a 5-pound baby.
I don't know. She is very conscious of her figure and everything. And I think, if anything, she probably was very careful not to gain any weight, or very little weight. 18 pounds is not very much. It's probably recommended, but, you know.
Really? I mean, I've heard 30 pounds, 40 pounds.
18.
Jiminy. So did she have lots of margaritas last night?
She had none. The service at Ola's sucked last night. I mean, I just could not believe how bad it was. The food was pretty good, but I had to, on two occasions, get up to go find the server to basically say, when you have a minute, can you just drop by?
When you have a minute, could you just maybe possibly give me a menu? A little bit of food?
I mean, I want a drink.
If it's not out of your way... I'm thinking maybe a menu might be nice.
Well, anyway, I told Renzo about our podcasting, and he's fascinated, and he was begging me to be on. He wants to come and be on the show. I don't know why, but he does.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's great because we want to have guests and we want to have interviews, but most of the time we want to have guests and interviews that have a point for, you know, us talking to them. It's going to be his responsibility to come up with the... What's the word I'm looking for?
Topic?
With his topic, yeah. Well, with his reason to be.
I think he wants to give me dating advice and, you know, stuff like that.
Okay.
He had me tell him a couple of stories. You know, he wanted to know what was going on in my personal life. So as I was telling him some of the stories, he was right there wanting to give me advice.
And heck yeah. He's a married guy with a pregnant wife. I'll bet he's living vicariously through you, baby.
The story he liked the most is about, you know, Carl and how pathetic he is.
That's always a good story.
Yeah, well,
it's always a good story for the kids.
I have not talked much about that story. I'll get into that one later anyway.
Carl.
So.
Well, you know, there's something that, Pat, that I forgot to bring up. I was in the dentist office on Tuesday just getting my teeth cleaned.
Mm.
And she was asking me about, you know, if I've seen some live music lately. And I started
and
going.
And you went like this.
And I started to kind of get emotional about something that I had seen recently. And then she even stopped me and said, boy, you're really passionate about this. And I thought, And then our friend Ferg from airferg.com made a mention in a podcast alley thread where I was being very logical in some sort of response. I can't remember what it was. And he said, you know, don't you ever get emotional or get...
Oh.
I mean, he was kind of just jesting.
He doesn't know.
He was just kind of jesting with me. But I thought, yeah, you know, this is something I'm passionate about. So, God dang it, I'm going to talk about it on the podcast.
Well, let's hear it.
All right. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the Denton Arts and Jazz Festival.
Sounds exciting.
You know, I've been there once before, and it is a fantastic layout. They've got a park devoted to this thing. You know, it's kind of a mini New Orleans Jazz Festival where you have several stages, and you have, you know, a lot of different types of music going on. So you go to this tent, you go to this tent, here's some, dabble into a bunch of things. And they have a really nice setup. The weekend was beautiful, and I really could possibly enjoy it, but I get so mad, and this is the second time in a row where I get so infuriated because I've gone up there and I really like jazz. Okay, so the Denton Arts and Jazz Festival, note, it's not called the Denton Arts and Music Festival, it's called the Jazz Festival. And as a side note, Denton, as I think you know, University of North Texas, is one of the absolute best jazz schools in the country. They have a radio station devoted to the school that plays 24/7 jazz.
And I did not know that.
And they play great jazz. In fact, I contribute to them. So I do. Because,
you do
because
not.
I do.
You give them jazz music?
No. I give them money.
You give them money. Got
like
it.
An NPR thing.
Carry on.
Yeah. So anyway, so I had an expectation to hear some jazz.
And that sounds reasonable.
What'd you hear? I was up there for about 4 hours on Sunday, and Pat, I got no jazz. They have a jazz tent, and I got no jazz.
You're kidding.
No.
What did you get?
I got, they call it jazz, and that's what infuriates me. They call it jazz, but I think what it's really, people should, or I don't know what they should call it, but I've heard a term called smooth jazz or new age jazz or...
Do not tell me they played Yanni.
That's the kind of music that they play.
Oh,
you go
no.
to the jazz tent. So I wanted to educate our listeners just a little bit here. First of all, I actually recorded this one. I was at the jazz tent. I got to this guy named Joseph Vincelli, and I'm going to talk about Joseph Vincelli later on in the program. We've got an interesting story about this fella.
Do not sue us.
He's an extremely talented musician, and it's not a bad thing at all.
Okay.
But, you know, we sat for a couple songs, and it's that genre of jazz that's not jazz that I don't listen to at home, so why would I listen to it there? So I went to this other tent, and I got this. This is recorded with my microphones.
Nice.
All right. Anyway, that's enough of that. The point of that was it was kind of a Western swing kind of thing. And actually, I enjoyed it for a couple, two or three songs. But again, it wasn't jazz. They had folk. They had this Western, old-time Western swing. And they had... I don't know, everything but jazz. Okay.
I didn't think that was jazz at all.
No, that wasn't jazz, and they weren't trying to be jazz.
Okay.
Okay, this is what you'd find at the jazz tent.
Oh, my God.
That kind of music, right? So, what I want to point out is that is not jazz. This is jazz. This is jazz, okay? It's not that complicated. Can you hear the difference, Pat?
Yes, I can hear the difference.
And I know you're no big jazz fans. All right. This.
That's not jazz.
This not jazz. This is what you find at the jazz tent. In fact, this is from a performer that I saw at the jazz tent. Okay. This. Jazz. Okay.
I'm getting it, Jeff.
This? I know, I'm exaggerative here.
So, I think the idea must be, if there's a saxophone, it's jazz.
This is guy, it's all saxophone. This is not jazz. This is jazz. This was recorded, by the way, at the Montreux Jazz Festival. See, they call it a jazz festival, and they play jazz. It's really bizarre. Okay, so
well, I definitely get your point, Jeff.
Okay. Now, I don't... What I wanted to say is I don't mind having the different music types, and I know that kind of music is somewhat popular, but people around me are starting to call that what I called non-jazz jazz, and that really bothers me because that's not jazz at all.
What is it? I mean, what should
again,
they be calling
again,
it?
Again, I think it's I've heard monikers called new jazz or soft jazz, I think some people call it.
Hmm.
It's just, and you know what? I one band I did see was Fingerprints, and again, they're playing the same, the soft new jazz. And, you know, the musicians are kick butt. I mean, these guys in Fingerprints, their keyboardist just blew my mind. Well, they didn't blow my mind, but but he was really, really good. The musicianship is just fantastic, and I want to tell these guys, play jazz. You guys would really be good.
You know what I think, how that happens, Jeff, is that some jazz, or maybe the original jazz, has a very frenetic component to it. And there's some jazz, Leslie's boyfriend, Ron, is a big jazz lover. So sometimes when I go visit them in Venice Beach, California, he'll be playing some jazz music. And he plays what I think is probably authentic jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be having dinner. And about halfway through, I'll have to say, Ron, you have to change that music, because I will discover that my anxiety level is increasing because there's something about the music and the way it affects my brain rhythms that get me, instead of feeling relaxed,
right,
it hypes me up. Now, yeah, I haven't gotten to my theory yet. I think the stuff that you're calling soft jazz or whatever is I don't particularly find it appealing, but I think what it does is it takes the original jazz and it amps it down, and it's less frenetic, less there's less energy to it in
yeah.
a way, and I
yeah.
think as a result, it's actually more appealing to ordinary people who aren't jazzophiles, if that's a word.
Well, some people do say that jazzophiles are musicians or musicians wannabes, because we sort of appreciate the musicianship that goes into it, and that may be part of it. But the basic difference is, and this is a little bit technical, but the basic difference is the new jazz is just like rock; it's got a boom, 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 steady beat, steady mm-hmm. eights. Where jazz, this is an overgeneralization, where jazz swings the eights. It's going doom, 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 doom. So if you hear somebody blowing a horn that's going doom, 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 that's jazz. If you hear somebody blowing the horn that's going doom, 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 okay, that was jazz too, sorry. I can't do not jazz.
Aw, poor
Jeff. But you get the impression. So there's a little bit of a technical difference as well. But I understand your point. And to be honest with you, I think that this real jazz, there's not that many fans of it. It's hard to find a club in Dallas that actually plays that real jazz. In fact, that's another pet peeve. You go to places like Sambuca, you go to places like Torelli's, you go to places that say they play jazz, and you get this new jazz, uh-huh. this soft jazz, and it really makes me mad. There was a great place on Lover's Lane for a while called the Jazz Connection that played incredible jazz, great bebop, lasted 6 months.
That's incredible.
Now, So again, I understand that it's not going to be popular, but all I'm asking from the Denton Music, Jazz and Arts Festival is that maybe one tent, maybe half the time, play some actual jazz.
One tent, one time, jazz.
I am not asking too much, and I'm never going up there again. Now, actually, before I get all these nasty emails, I should say I did check the schedule, and it looks like the day previously on Saturday, they did have two or three, from what I could tell, real jazz bands in that jazz tent.
Uh-huh.
But hey, the four-hour window I was there on a Sunday afternoon, sorry.
Disappointing.
No jazz.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
Better luck next year, Jeff.
I'm not going next year.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on.
Let's move on, shall we?
You know what I want to talk about, Jeff?
I do. No, I don't,
last
actually.
Not last year. You got to cut that out. I don't know why I said last year. It's like, am I stupid?
If you haven't caught on by now, Pat, I don't do cuts anymore. Because I find that our interludes are funny.
Oh, shut up.
And it makes my life easier.
You have a small Jeff.
I'd have to bleep that out again.
Well, you were talking about a pet peeve, and I have a pet peeve, too. I kind of get all cranked up when I hear people say they hear about something misfortunate, and they say, oh, it must be happening for a reason. And or you know, sometimes even with fortunate things. I don't know if you remember a story that probably Susan might have mentioned to you last year, Jeff, when she and I went to a party at Judy's house. Judy, I don't want to say her last name.
Judy California?
No. Judy from work, Judy.
Okay.
You would have known Judy.
Okay.
Okay. She and her husband are adopting some twins, and they wanted to adopt some children. And she went through this long story about how they were adopting these kids and all of these things that happened. And every time something happened, she was basically say, well, it's amazing that this happened. This is God telling us that we were meant for this to happen.
Right.
And she must have had about 6 or 7 coincidences. And I was just like, okay, fine. But I think finally, it sunk into me that there is something to all of this coincidence stuff.
Really?
Yes.
See, I think, I mean, maybe, well, actually, I've got something to talk about that too. But, you know, when you hear it once, one or two things at a coincidence, I always think, okay, they're just trying to rationalize the way they feel about a certain event, you know?
Well, let me tell you what is getting me to go to the other side.
Ooh.
Do you remember when I went to 7-Eleven last week?
Do you go to 7-Eleven?
Every day. And I had what I called the redneck dinner or something like that. I got the Angus steak burger hot dog and the chronic inebriant beer.
Right.
So when I go to pay, guess how much it cost?
I have no idea.
$7.11. $7.11.
God wanted you to have that redneck dinner.
Exactly, because, you know, normally I might have bought just one beer.
That's right.
But no, and then it wouldn't have been 7-Eleven.
No.
Uh-huh.
You got two
See
beers?
See what I'm saying?
You got
well,
two beers?
I got the chronic inebriant beer. That's the big beer.
Oh, the
that's
big
like
beer.
This. That's, you know, basically two beers for the price of 1 1/4 beer.
Right.
Okay. Well, also, that same weekend, while I was researching a story for our show, I came across the name of this professor at Yale, and I was trying to figure out exactly what his PhD was in, because in what I was reading, I couldn't figure it out. So I type in www.yaleuniversity.com, and you know what it brought up?
What?
A website about candy. It's like all about candy, like buying candy, the whole nine yards. And again, I thought, how fitting, because I love candy.
Wow.
And now what happened is I made a mistake. It's not www.yaleuniversity.com. It turns out it's www.yale.edu.
Right.
But, you know, I just think it was karma.
And you got candy out of it.
And I got candy out of it.
Again, somebody up there wants you to enjoy candy.
And I'm starting to start paying attention to all the times that I do things and candy comes into my life by accident.
Yeah.
I don't think it's by accident anymore. I think it's divine intervention. God wants me to eat more candy.
Or maybe even if it's not a God thing, maybe it's something in the cosmos. Well, can I tell you about mine, or do you have more on that?
Well, no, you can tell me about yours, but we will come back to this candy thing.
Right. We will come back to candy, yeah.
Come on.
Okay.
Tell it.
Well, going up to the Denton Jazz Festival, I get there about 2:00 on Sunday afternoon. We go right to the jazz tent. And who is playing but a fellow named Joseph Vincelli. Okay. Now, he's a saxophonist and he plays this new jazz genre that I don't like. But he's very talented. I mean, but here's the thing. I freaked out when I got and saw him. And Amy, who I was with, you know, we sat down in our chairs and I saw it was Joseph. I had a little bit of a temper tantrum.
Oh, my God. I wish I could have seen that.
I mean, it wasn't bad, but Amy was admittedly a little bit puzzled. And there's a reason
Poor
for the
Amy.
There's a reason for the puzzlement, and I explained it to her, and I'll explain it to you. Okay. The first time I ever saw Joseph Vincelli was about 15 years ago, probably at this old club called Caravana Dreams.
Oh, yes.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. The first time I saw him was at this club on La Mualto. I can't even remember the name of it. And I didn't intend to see him or new jazz. I wanted it to be, again, I was looking forward to a night of jazz, and that's what I got. So, whatever. Then I organized a group of friends to go to Jazz Under the Stars in downtown Dallas. And I thought, well, yeah, I didn't look at the lineup. I thought, good, I can't wait to hear some jazz, and we'll be fun with my friends. It was Joseph and Sally. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and this is all in the course of 10 years. Then I went to a Dallas, probably 3 or 4 Dallas Star games, and he often leads leads off the Dallas Stars, the Star-Spangled Banner with the saxophone solo. Again, he's very talented. Then I saw My Caravan of Dreams. And then, get this, a friend of mine invited me to go to her holiday party in Los Angeles on the Queen Mary 2. I think that's what it is. This incredible, incredible Christmas party. This was back actually when
you had friends?
When I had friends and when companies had made a lot of money. This was Toyota. They had all these different venues. They had a jazz ballroom. Guess who's playing?
Joseph
Vangelis.
Oh my God.
Okay. So what happens when I go to the Denton Jazz Festival?
He's stalking you, Jeff.
There's 3 days of the festival. I go up at one window of time at 2 o'clock, and there's Joseph and Sally. No, I don't think he's stalking me. I don't think I'm stalking him. But
Cosmos is trying to tell you that really is jazz.
That's good, Pat. No, did you ever see the movie I Love Huckabees?
No.
Okay, well, there's a scene in there where he meets this one fella a couple times in totally different situations. And he comes up with the conclusion that I need to meet him. There's a reason that we are supposed to meet. I don't know what that reason is. There's a reason we're supposed to meet. And I feel very strongly, Pat, and I'm not a superstitious person, that I need to meet Joseph and Sally. And I don't know why, but it's too many coincidences. And actually, there's a few others that I haven't added, but it's just too weird.
That's pretty interesting. I'm not really sure I can identify any person that I've kind of had that experience with meeting him so many times.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah. So if anybody out there knows him, or if you're listening, Joseph, give me a holler. We'll find out why we need to meet.
Well, Jeff, I need to come back to the candy thing, and that is no coincidence that we're coming back to it. A couple of weeks ago, I think I talked about the M&Ms that were the dark chocolate M&Ms.
Yes.
And as a result, we got an email message from this guy named Patty O'Poppycock, and he advised us.
Not his real name.
He told us about a website that he thought would be of particular interest to me since I'm a candy and snack lover, and it's called Writers/Artists Snacking at Work. And Jeff will put the URL up for you, but it's a great website.
And actually, it's this guy's website. He said he, if I remember the email, he and a group of friends sort of all had this passion for candy, and he happened to be a listener of ours, right?
Yes.
So cool.
And I mean, he goes out there and he basically reviews all kinds of snacks, and it's just fabulous. So, in fact, he recently reviewed the Take 5 candy bar, which I bought at Walgreens the other day, I would say about 6 weeks ago, because I'd been looking at it and I thought, I just have to taste it. And I took about 2 bites out of it. I didn't think it was great, but I didn't want to eat the whole thing for 200 calories or whatever. I just took a bite. And now I don't have to do that. I can go to this fancy website.
So you can really actually go on a diet because you don't have to eat candy now. You can just read about it.
Right.
Actually, I'm not as big of a candy holic as Pat is, obviously, but I looked at this website, and it's incredible how exhaustive it is. And it's one of those things where, again, I always think this is what makes the web terrific. You got a group of like 3 or 4 friends that have a passion, and they just do an exhaustive discussion of it on their website, and it's great.
The one thing though that kind of made me go is that my favorite candy bar is the Payday. And they didn't rate the Payday very high. And I know it's all just about tastes. And the Payday has got, you know, it's kind of this sweet thing with salt. And I think their biggest issue was it was salty. And salt is a favorite thing of mine. So anyway.
So we take back our recommendation of this website. Don't. Visit.
Go visit. It's
kidding.
A great website.
I'm kidding.
Good
it really
pictures,
is.
Funny. They are very funny, too.
And Pat, I don't want to put pressure on you, but are you going to guest review one of
Yes, I am. I am going to review the milk chocolate and the dark chocolate M&Ms.
Oh, cool.
I hope to do it sometime today.
All right, cool. Well, go see the website.
Because he mixes it with love and makes the world taste good.
Makes the world taste good.
Who can take a rainbow?
Who can take a rainbow?
Wrap it in a sigh.
Wrap it in a sigh.
Soak it in the sun and make a groovy lemon pie. The candy man.
The candy man.
The candy man.
Well, Pat, what was interesting in Podcast Alley this week? This Week in Tech. This is a brand new podcast. Rose up to number 1.
Wow.
And it's like got double the votes that number two has, which I think is Don and Drew right now. And this website, I don't know if you've listened to it or checked it out, but it's you want to look at the fast rise. They went from like 0 to 4,000 subscribers in a week.
Wow.
And they used to have another podcast. It's a fellow named Leo Laporte who has done technology. But what was funny about this, I did listen to it, and it's very, I don't want to say professionally done, but these guys know what they're doing. They're articulate. It's like four guys talking about discussions. And I thought, this is great. I want a weekly show where I can hear what's been the latest in technology. You know, it's a good service. But it was a stark reminder, Pat, of...
commercialization?
No. A stark reminder of the fact that all of us in podcast land are early adopters. And early adopters are very technical. And it was a stark reminder of really how technical we all are, because I'm pretty technical, wouldn't you say, Pat?
Yes.
70 to 80% of this podcast went over my head.
Oh, wow.
It was that deep down technical.
Wow.
So again, just a reminder that, and this is number, you know, one of the very popular podcasts.
Okay, so most of it went over your head, but it's still extremely popular. What does that tell us?
That tells us that a lot of you guys out there are really technical. and it tells you that mom and dad aren't listening yet.
I see.
You know? I will be a non-subscriber to This Week in Tech, and it's not an insult to anybody involved in it, because it is a quality podcast, and I recommend it to those who are really technical, but I couldn't handle it.
It was so, in other words, it seems like it was too niche.
Well, maybe. But maybe others would say, no, this is exactly the information I want, you know?
Well, you know, we also did get a comment on our website, Jeff, because you and I had called up the people at Borderline, and we debated the use of the word gal, which I still hate.
Yes, we did.
And this individual put a note in there that said, Pat, if you're interested in the use of hidden sexism in words, there's this one podcast you might be interested in. And it's called The Word Geeks. No, Word Nerds.
The Word Nerds.
It's called The Word Nerds. So I went and listened to it, and I thought it was such a very good podcast. These guys are both teachers, and they occasionally have somebody else on that they discuss various words. They have a rude word of the week and stuff like that. I mean, they had crap as one of the rude word of the week. I love the word crap. And they spoke intelligently. They spoke well. It sounded very professional. It was so incredibly interesting. I enjoyed it a lot.
But excellent.
But it contributed to a crabby moment in my life on Friday. I got really crabby about a couple of things. And they were all kind of related. And they are related to my being single, of course. And here's what happened. I'm listening to these two guys, and they're teachers. And I'm thinking, oh, they're teachers. They must be fabulous men. They like words and word etymology. So do I. And I'm thinking, oh, cool. They're so cool.
I love words and etymology.
And one of the guys is, he has a degree in law. And
cool.
Yet he's still a school teacher, and he teaches Latin, and he's also a film lover. And I'm thinking, oh, my God,
cool.
I'm all of a sudden falling in love with these men, both of them. And then I listened to one of their next shows, and the show is about names and how people use names. And like when you don't know people very well, you call them Mr. or Mrs.
Right.
When you get to know them better, you call them by their first name. And then when you get to know them really well, then you don't even, you know, you have pet names. Like even for you, I don't call you Jeff all the time. Most of the time I call you Jeffy. And you call me something that most people don't call me, which is Patty or Patty Pat.
Patty Pat.
Right. So they were talking. Then this is when I got grumpy. They started talking about their pet names for their wives and the names that their wives used for them. And I thought, oh,
why?
I'm married.
You didn't like this? What did they say?
No, it just bummed me out that I was so happy that I thought, here are some men that
married.
I could be interested in. That, you know, why don't I meet men like this on It's Just Lunch instead of the boring men?
Because
the interesting men are already married.
They have been, yeah, women have been attracted to those interesting men and they grab them up, I guess. But I'm an interesting man and I'm single. Uh-oh. If I follow this logic, I don't like where it's heading.
Yes. I usually don't say anything when I think I'm going to get in trouble. I find it's best for me to be quiet. So I think maybe we should move on.
End the topic.
Oh, teacher, I need you.
I did want to say, though, you know, when you mentioned these guys were teachers, one last thing. I think, again, I see a great potential in podcasting for these people that are teachers that sort of teach what they know on podcasts. And I haven't told you this. In fact, I haven't told anybody yet, but I am actually thinking about doing a jazz piano workshop podcast.
Oh, cool.
I'm thinking about it. It would be a little bit of work, but I'm thinking this is the power of podcasting, teaching other people the things that you know about and are passionate about.
Excellent.
You know?
I think that's great.
I mean, I would love for a teacher in science, and I think some are out there, a teacher in science to have a science lesson, like what happened in the news on science this week and how does that relate to real people?
Well, I think at that point you're just talking about presenting the information in a different format because, of course, there is a great science show on television already, Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Oh, so I've never seen that. Okay.
I can't believe Bill Nye is also another one of the very many men that I love that I would marry if, you know, if only I met him and if only he wasn't already married. I love Bill Nye, the Science Guy.
Wow.
But he is a great science instructor and, you know, he's on PBS.
Okay.
So, you know, it works. It works, you know.
But can I watch PBS and while I'm in my car?
No, you can't.
Wow. Well,
Bill could easily do a podcast or somebody that had the kind of enthusiasm, the knowledge, and kind of all of these people who are successful in these types of things have a lot of charisma. Bill Nye has a lot of charisma.
Absolutely. And the ability.
We have charisma.
Right. and the ability to talk to a common person about, you know, maybe a potentially complex topic.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I agree. It's cool.
Good luck on your jazz podcast, Jeff.
Well, I don't promise it yet, but it's something I've been playing around with. Let me make a quick announcement, Pat. If you are in a foreign land, in other words, not in America, and you want to phone in a 7-Eleven update, what's going on at your local 7-Eleven? We want to know. Go ahead and give us a call at 206-202-TALK. That's 206-202-8255. And let us know what's going on at 7-Eleven. We would love to hear from you.
Well, Jeff, you know, normally we, at the beginning of every month, we kind of let our listeners know what they need to focus on for that month. You know, we've had Caffeine Awareness Month and Math Month. Math Month.
I've been unfocused this month. Well, I didn't know.
But I'm going to help you get focused.
Yay.
And our listeners, because May has a lot of things going on. And for example, May is National Physical Fitness and Sports Month.
Ooh, I like that. Hey, I've been more physically active lately.
Good. Me too. Well, of course, we all have to because it's bathing suit season coming up.
That's true.
May is also Mental Health Month.
Huh?
May is National Bike Month.
I need to get a bike. Mine was stolen last year.
Oh, and then it's also Older Americans Month. Well,
you say there, Sonny?
I was terrified when I saw this Older Americans Month. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go to this website and find out that I classify for being older American. No, you're an older American if you're over 65. So
yay,
there you have it.
We still got a couple years.
We have a couple of years.
All right. So what are we supposed to do to honor these months? I guess just think about it and go out and do some activities. If you're old, do some activities. Do some mental stretches. What do we need to do mental type of activity?
On the Mental Health Month, they did have some activity ideas. And most of them, you know, are pretty, you know, you would expect them to be that. So like sponsor an annual walk for mental health.
I did that.
You did?
Last week, yeah.
Start a book club for those interested in mental health topics.
I did that.
Organize a weekly walking club to give consumers and the general public a chance to get some exercise, relieve stress, and mingle.
Did it, done that, been there.
Well, you know, all of these sound like
I'm kidding. These are like kind of weird. Ooh, I'm going to organize a walking club where we can talk about mental health. Huh?
Well, I think for mental health, what would help me is if I got like the afternoon off, and then, you know, if I had a lover or something like that, we could go home and have sex all afternoon.
Would you do as a lover do?
That would help my mental health. Although, you know, what if you don't have a lover?
Well, you know, well, you could have your best hand become your lover. You know what, though? I think I read someplace, and I wish I would have done research on it now that you mention it. There was some country, and I want to say it's a South America. Those South Americans are sexy. Some South American country where they had Orgasm Day. Did you hear about this at all, Pat?
No.
I should have. I think I heard on NPR, Orgasm Day, and they were all encouraged to go out and have orgasms.
Wow. Now, see, I think that sounds fabulous. And sort of thinking about this, it reminded me of when I was first in the world of work as a young woman.
I thought you were going to say first in the world of orgasms.
No. And I was my first job. I lived fairly close to my office, and I did have a boyfriend that worked in the same building. And there were times we would go home for lunch to fool around instead of eat. And we would stop at McDonald's and get French fries on the way back. And so even now, sometimes when I get McDonald's French fries, I think, I used to have. Makes me think of those good old days.
I remember early days where I did the same thing, had sex for lunch. I don't know why. Why that doesn't happen when you get older? What happened?
Maybe
what happened along the way?
Well, maybe because you live 45 minutes away or because, you know, you find your day too stressful. And so, you know, basically would take 10 minutes to get to my house one way. So round trip was 20 minutes. If you had an hour off, you know, that was 40 minutes. Well, you know.
And in those days, I only had 2 minutes anyway. So, I mean, you know, it was...
Oh, that's so sad, Jeff. That would disappoint me if that's all you were good for. I have higher expectations, pal.
Yeah. It's time for the Dallas Minute.
Yay! Well, you know, we decided to kind of collect some facts about Dallas. And one of the things, and I get to say this and you will all appreciate why, Dallas is the nation's first convenience stores. The vast 7-Eleven chain, now in 18 countries, started in Dallas in 1922.
Wow.
7-Eleven.
1922. You owe us. The rest of the country and the world, you owe us for those crappy Texas hot dog thingamajigs.
Steak burger.
That's what I was looking for. Well, another fun fact is Henry Garrett invented the first car radio in the early 20s and possibly the first automatic electric traffic light here in Dallas.
Wow.
That happened here in Dallas. So that's why we have such great traffic control here.
That's right. And in 1931, the Highland Park Village opened, and it was the first shopping center with stores surrounding a central parking area. And Dallas is a shopping mecca.
I just had coffee at the Highland Park Village last night. We live very close, and it's a very charming place still to this day. In 1938, Hillcrest State Bank opened the first drive-up bank window, which actually makes sense. Dallas is probably competes with LA in terms of just having such a large car culture. That's something we kind of railed about a couple weeks ago with the price of oil thing, but that makes sense.
Ah, the first integrated circuit, which became the microchip, was invented by Jack Kilby in 1958 at Texas Instruments.
Wow, that's
pretty cool. You know, they're headquartered here.
Yes, and he won an Emmy for that, I believe. No, I was just trying to think he did win something for it. The idea of the ubiquitous ATM machine came from Don Wetzel in the 1960s.
Yay for ATM machines.
Yay.
And now here's my
Don.
Favorite thing. The frozen margarita was invented by Dallas restaurateur Mariano Martinez in 1971.
Oh.
1971. I mean, that wasn't that long ago.
So they did not have margaritas back then?
I guess not. And, you know, it's funny because Susan and I, you remember last week I told you about the coffee at 7-Eleven was mint julep flavored?
Oh, yeah.
And I was talking to Susan about that, and we were talking about the Derby, and I don't like mint julep. Do you? Mint julep drink?
I think I've only had one or two real mint juleps, and they were okay.
I don't like them at all, and Susan said something that was funny. She said, mint juleps were popular before really good drinks came out, like the margarita. So I think, you know, but I'm sure the Kentucky Derby won't switch from mint juleps to margaritas, but margaritas are way better than mint julep.
There you go. All right. Inspired by his daughter's Super Bowl, Dallas's Lamar Hunt, owner of the Kansas City Chiefs at the time, coined the term Super Bowl.
Huh. Interesting. Super Bowl, Super
Interesting
Bowl.
Or not?
I think maybe not. And then finally, now I'm not really sure this will make too many people happy, but Barney, the lovable, questionable,
you.
Purple dinosaur of public broadcasting, comes from the Dallas area, as does the smart, history-loving dog Wishbone.
Wow. I love Dallas because of Barney.
Well, there you have it. A bunch of interesting facts about Dallas. What was invented here?
Invented mostly things for convenience because we are lazy people here.
Well, there's also a lot of money involved because we got lots of money.
Got lots of money, baby. Not here in our studio, but lots of money. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week, Pat.
I guess so.
Another show. Which show number is this? This has got to be
14,
number
maybe?
14 or 13? I don't know.
Well, you know, I'm planning to walk the Katy Trail today with Belle, maybe the dog, and
Excellent.
My friend Mark. So
Excellent.
I'm excited. It's a beautiful day. And I guess I just realized that part of the Katy Trail extension is it's probably been open for a while. I just never knew that.
Yeah. Well, that'll be a lot of fun.
What are you going to be doing?
Well, I am going to be editing some show. Woe is me. And I'm going to be doing some, entertaining my house cleaner. She's supposed to come today. I don't entertain her.
Thank God.
Thank God. Anyway, so that's going to be it. Go ahead and send us email. We're Jeff and Pat at thisandthatpodcast.com, or you can email us separately at jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com.
Or pat@thisandthatpodcast.com.
Give us a holler. Give us an email, 206-202-TALK. And go to the website. If you like what we're doing, by the way, go ahead and vote for us on Podcast Alley. But more important than even that, tell your friends.
That's right.
So go to the website and have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.